For this is what the Sovereign Lord says. I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines and in the settlements in the land. I will tend them in a good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the Sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak, but the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice.
Well, buenos dias. If you didn't know, I've been in Honduras the past week, and my Spanish has risen a little bit, I think. Thought about preaching in Spanish, but I'm not to that point just yet. But we did have a long day of travel yesterday. We got up at 4 in the morning. So I have prayed earnestly for God to give me a double dose of His Spirit this morning, and I trust that He will do that. Oh, what in the world? How did y'all get that picture? Just call me Dr. Steve Doolittle. And we got to see some wonderful birds while we were there. That's me. Yes, that is me. Yeah, as humans, we crave leaders. We want people who we can look to and who can inspire us and who can give us hope. And so because we have this craving, this is the reason why we pay attention to celebrities and follow famous people and famous athletes. This is the reason why we get emotionally invested in political races. This is the reason why we put people up on pedestals, whether it's a writer or a movie star or a preacher or some sort like that. We do that because we crave leaders, because we want people in our life who we can look to and say, that person's got it together, and I'm going to follow what they do. And if I just do what they do, everything is going to be fine. And if they're in charge, and if they're the ones making decisions, everything is going to be fine. We want people like that. We crave people like that. But the problem is that in our society today, we don't have a lot of good models for good leaders. And let me just give you a couple of examples. So back in 2008, when there was the recession, there was a study done of companies who had to lay off workers. And they found out that the CEOs of those companies, on average, increased their pay around 40%. Let me give you a couple of examples. American Express, right after that recession, laid off 4,000 workers, while the CEO received a $5 million bonus. Johnson & Johnson laid off 9,000 jobs, while the CEO took home over $25 million. There are just many multiple examples of this. It happens all the time, and we see studies on how well-paid executives get paid so much more than the hired worker. And when you have to tighten the financial belt, it is often the hired worker who is let go, and the compensation package of the leader of the company is untouched. Now, that's not the kind of leadership that we crave. It's not good leadership. Let me give you another example. So right now, as Travis prayed, we're in the middle of this presidential season, this presidential cycle. And I'm not going to get political, don't worry. But as I've been watching the debates and watching all of this going on the news, I have this continual feeling of nauseam. that comes over me. I don't know about you, but because it seems as if our country as a whole is gravitating towards leaders who exhibit power and who exhibit strength, who push other people down to get what they want, who are simply concerned about their own agenda, no matter who it might affect. And it seems as if that's the kind of leadership that our country is wanting, when I know that that is not the kind of leadership that we deep down crave. It's not good leadership. Let me give you one more example. Sometimes we see bad leaders in our society, and because of that, we decide, I don't want to be like that. And so we don't trust the leaders in government, and we don't trust the authorities in institutions, and we don't even trust maybe even leaders in the church, and we just decide, I'm just going to lead my own life. And over the past maybe about 30 to 40 years, we have seen a tremendous rise within our culture of more and more people who have a mistrust of leaders in society, and so they just simply decide, I'm going to lead my own life. And if people would just leave me alone, I could lead my own life, make my own decisions, control my own life, and things will be fine. The problem is when you try to lead your own life, what often happens is you make a mess of it. Because that's not the kind of leadership that we crave. It's not good leadership. And so the question that I want us to think about this morning is, where do we turn to find the true leadership that we as human beings crave? Where can we find good leadership that we can look to and depend on and to follow? I want you to open your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 34, because I think Ezekiel 34 helps us answer that question. If you're new this morning, we're in the middle of a study of the book of Ezekiel. And maybe you've never read the book of Ezekiel before, or maybe you've done it and it's just been off the surface. But there's some really good stuff in Ezekiel. And a great example is Ezekiel 34. But Ezekiel was a prophet that was called to the exiles, or the refugees, Israelite refugees who were living in Babylon. And his calling was to go to those exiles and try to explain to them what God was doing, to help them understand what God was up to. And the first key part of his message was to tell those Israelite refugees that God is on the move, and he's on the move to bring judgment. And so don't think that Jerusalem's going to stand. Don't think that everything's going to be okay. Don't think that God is somehow going to come and rescue his people, because he's not. God is actually the enemy. He is upset with the disobedience of Israel, and so he is on the move to bring judgment. Well, about halfway through the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel 33, to be exact, chapter 33, there is a person who comes to the exiles and delivers the news. And that news is that Jerusalem has fallen. That what Ezekiel has predicted for the past 5 years or so, it has finally come true. God has not rescued his people, but instead the capital city of Jerusalem has been destroyed. The temple has been burned. The king has been deposed. He's no longer king. And God's people have been defeated. Well, you could almost divide the book of Ezekiel into two halves. In the first half is chapters 1 through 33, which is the whole aspect of judgment and how God's going to judge his people. Well, the second half is chapters 34 to 48. Because now, once Jerusalem falls, Ezekiel's task changes. And instead of him communicating a message that God is on the move to bring judgment, now his task is to present a message that God is on the move to restore his people. That you could say Ezekiel moves from being a prophet to now being a pastor. Before, he was trying to tell the people, you need to repent because God is upset and he's going to judge his people. Now he enters into a role where he comes to comfort his people and to bring hope, words of hope for those exiles. Maybe another way of looking at it is that before Jerusalem fell, the question that the exiles were asking is, why us? Why us? Why are we in exile? What did we do that was so bad? Why is God so mad at us? Well, once Jerusalem falls, it becomes very clear that God has judged his people. The question now that the exiles are asking is, what's next? What's next? Does God still love us? Does God still want us to be his people? Does God have any plan for the future? Is there any hope? And chapters 34 through 48 is the answer to that question, and it's that God has a tremendous hope for his people. But in chapter 34, what Ezekiel deals with first is this issue of leadership. Because one of the main reasons why Israel got into the mess that it got into was because of bad leaders, bad kings. If you go back and look at the kings of Israel, most of them were pretty bad. Isn't that right? And the priests who were supposed to teach people about God weren't too good either. And whenever God would send a prophet to try to call the people back to God's way, what did the leaders do? They resisted. They had bad leadership. And so the first step to restoring God's people is dealing with the leadership problem. And that's what we see in chapter 34. Notice what it says in verse 2. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to the shepherds of Israel who only take care of themselves. Now, when they use this word of shepherd, Ezekiel's not talking about a literal shepherd who takes care of literal sheep along a hillside. Instead, in the ancient Near East, shepherd was a prominent metaphor for a king or for a ruler or for a leader. In fact, if you might remember, there was a king named Hammurabi, as in Code of Hammurabi. Anyone heard of that? We have an inscription of Hammurabi himself where he says, I am a shepherd by the God of Enlil. What is he saying? He's not saying he's a literal shepherd. He's saying, I'm a king, I'm a ruler, I'm a leader of my people. And so whenever it says shepherds, he's talking about leaders, the leaders of Israel. And Ezekiel says that God is against these shepherds. Why? Because they only take care of themselves. And Ezekiel starts to explain how they just simply take care of themselves. Notice verse 3. You eat curds, you clothe yourselves with the wool and the slaughter of the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. Continuing this metaphor of a shepherd, Ezekiel says, the leaders, all they do is they take care of themselves. They make sure that they get the good food. They make sure they get the good drink. They make sure they get the nice clothes, but when their flock needs something, they let them suffer. They make sure that their compensation package is perfectly fine while the worker pays the price. That's what Ezekiel is saying. And when one of the flock is hurt, these leaders don't go try to help them. And when one of the flock is weak, none of these leaders try to strengthen them. And when one of this flock goes and loses his way and is out on a mountainside, afraid for his life, these leaders do nothing because all they're concerned about is themselves. And so the question of Ezekiel 34 is, what is God going to do? We all know that Israel has had bad leaders. We all know that there is bad leadership in our society and places that we look. What is God going to do about that? And what's so incredible about Ezekiel 34 is that the answer that God gives about what he's going to do about bad leadership is he says, I'm going to take the matter into my own hands. Sometimes when there's a problem, God sends an angel in Scripture. Sometimes when there is a problem, God sends a prophet in Scripture. Sometimes when there is a problem, God sends a preacher in Scripture. But sometimes when there is a problem, God sends himself. And he says, this problem is too big for anybody else to handle. I'm just going to have to come down and I'm going to have to handle it myself. And that's what Ezekiel 34 is all about. You can see it as over and over again in the text. God says, I will. I will remove those bad leaders. I will rescue my flock. I will search for the sheep. I will look after my sheep. I will rescue them. I will bring them out. I will bring them into the land. I will pasture them. I will tend them. I will search for the lost and bring back the slaves. I will judge them. Over and over again throughout the text, God is trying to say, I'm going to take care of this problem myself. And I'm going to do the exact opposite of what the Israelite leaders do. And when one of my flock is weak, I myself am going to strengthen them. And when one of my flock is injured, I myself are going to bind them up and heal them. And when one of my flock lose their way and find themselves in a mountainside somewhere, afraid for their life, I myself am going to go search and find them. I'm going to take the matter in my own hands. And the question is, how is God going to do that? How is God personally going to be involved? It's this text in Ezekiel 34 where we see the personal engagement of God, where God says, I'm going to personally engage my people and I'm going to fix this problem. But how is God going to do that? And he tells us in verse 23, I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. And I, the Lord, have spoken. God says, I'm going to take matters in my own hands, and I'm going to come down and I'm going to anoint someone to be the shepherd over my people. And it's going to be a prince. It's going to be someone in the line of David. It's going to be someone who's going to lead my people perfectly. It's a prophecy. It's a prophecy. And sure enough, when we turn to the New Testament, that prophecy is fulfilled. When God becomes flesh in the form of Jesus Christ, and in John chapter 10, what does Jesus say? I am the good shepherd. You can't understand what Jesus says in John 10 if you don't understand Ezekiel 34, right? No wonder the Pharisees, when they heard Jesus say that, picked up stones ready to stone Jesus. Because they understood Ezekiel. And they knew what Jesus was saying. And that Jesus was saying that the leadership that Israel has is bad, bad leadership. And that he was putting himself up as God himself, declaring to be the shepherd of the sheep. But that's what was happening. The prophecy was being fulfilled, and Jesus was declaring what God had promised back in Ezekiel 34 is finally coming to fruition. God has come to lead his people, and it is found in me. I am the good shepherd. I'm going to be the leader. And so when we look at the life of Jesus, we see a very different picture of what leadership is like. We see a very different picture than the Israelite kings or even what we see today. We see a picture of leadership where it is not laying off the workers so that your compensation can stay the same, but it's laying down your life for the sheep. We see that leadership is not about pushing your way to the top, no matter whom you have to push down to get there, but instead it is about being at the bottom so you can push everyone else up to the top. Leadership is not about looking out for your own self-interest, even if that leaves others behind. Leadership is about focusing on God's interests and inviting others along. Leadership is not about welcoming endorsements. It's about welcoming children. It's not about being the master. It's about being a servant. It's not about being arrogant, brash, and ego-dominated. It's about being humble and gentle and selfless. It's the way it was for Jesus. Leadership is not about expecting the lost sheep to find his own way because it was his problem that he got lost. Leadership is about leaving the 99. And going and finding that lost sheep, putting them on your shoulders and bringing them back home and celebrating. Leadership is about washing feet. It's about grieving with the widow. It's about touching the leper. It's about helping the beggar. Leadership involves compassion. It requires character and it embodies love, because fundamentally what leadership is all about, it's about dying on a cross. And the hope of Ezekiel 34, the hope for those exiles, was that all those previous years of bad leaders were now coming to an end, because God was promising that he was going to offer himself as the leader of his people. And we know that that has been fulfilled today in the presence of Jesus Christ. That he is our leader. He is our leader. He is our good shepherd. And the question of Ezekiel 34 is, whose leadership do you want to follow? Do you want to follow the failed leadership of many humans from times past? Or are you going to follow the perfect leadership of Jesus, who is the good shepherd? And church, let me just tell us that it is very tempting. It is very tempting to think that if we just get the right human in leadership, that somehow everything's going to be okay. And we can think that on a number of levels and a number of arenas. We can think if we just get the right leader for our business or leader for our organization, then everything's going to be fine. Or if we get the right person in office, maybe as president or as senator or as governor, everything's going to be fine. If we just get that right leader, that right person. Or we can think that about church. If we just get the right preacher, if we just get the right elder, then everything is going to be fine. If we just get the right leader in our life, then everything's going to be fine. Or we think that about ourselves. If I can just get a little bit more education, if I can just get a little more opportunity, then everything's going to be fine, because then I'll be able to lead my life in the right way. And the message of Ezekiel 34 is, yes, we need good leaders, and we want to encourage people to be good leaders, but humans are going to let you down. Humans are going to fail you. And if you put your dependence on humans to lead, they are going to disappoint you. But instead, if we put our dependence on God, he never disappoints, because he's the perfect leader. And that's the message of Ezekiel 34. Instead of letting these other people lead who have done a bad job, I'm coming down and I'm going to lead my people. And so instead of trusting in some person, instead of trusting in some other human leader, the message of Ezekiel 34 is trust in the leadership of Jesus. He's the head of the church. And let him lead your life. Let him lead us. And the goal of all of this, the goal of God coming down and being our shepherd, is in Ezekiel 34, verse 30. Then they will know that I, the Lord, their God, am with them, and that they, the house of Israel, are my people, declares the sovereign Lord. You, my sheep, the sheep of my pasture, are people, and I am your God, declares the Lord. But the goal of God becoming our shepherd is because he wants all of us and the rest of the world to come to know him, to be his people, to be the sheep of his pasture, and for him to be our God and King. And the question this morning is, are you willing to let him do that? Are you willing to turn your life over to let God be your leader? And for some of us, that starts in the waters of baptism, where we repent of our sins and are baptized into Christ, and we say, God, I want you to lead my life. I'm tired of leading it myself because I make a mess of it. I'm tired of trying to trust other people to lead my life. I want you to be the leader of my life. And that starts in baptism. And if you haven't done that, then today is a great day to do it. Just come to the front. We'll baptize you into Christ when we sing our song in just a second. Just come to the front. We'll baptize you and we'll let you live a new life, a life where you're following the Good Shepherd. But there are others of us where we haven't let our whole life be turned over to God. There's still portions of it that we want to be in charge of and that we want to lead. And we need to turn that over to the Good Shepherd. We need to trust in Jesus. We need to follow him and let him lead us, because he is perfect. and he will take care of us. We're going to have elders surround our auditorium. Just walk to one of them. Let them pray over you, encourage you, strengthen you for the week as we look to the chief shepherd, Jesus. Please come now as together we stand and sing.